The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Ahoy, and welcome to the Boating Hour with Captain Rick. The Boating Hour brings you the latest and greatest essential information about everything that sails, floats, or motors upon the high seas of Southern California. From land lovers to old salts, there'll be something for everyone. So climb aboard and get ready to sail with Captain Rick.
Ahoy out there, and welcome to the Boating Hour. I'm Captain Rick, and I want to thank you for joining us here on AM 870. We're here every Saturday at 4 p.m. Please be sure to visit us on the web at theboatinghour.com, and now on social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Rumble, The Boating Hour with Captain Rick. And thanks to our sponsors for the show today. For a healthy gut, the best probiotic on the market, Livia One Probiotics, natural, organic, and allergen-free. And we're also going to talk about Raycom today. Raycom Radio, reliable two-way radio throughout Southern California. Not your father's radio. Boy, we've come a long way in that. So today I'm in studio here with my good friend Bill. Bill, welcome to the Boating Hour with Captain Rick. So nice to have you here.
Why, thank you, Rick. It's great to be here. Rick and I are both members of the Coast Guard Auxiliary. That's how I met him. And I'm looking forward to the show.
You know, I am so excited to be in the Coast Guard Auxiliary. The very first time I even knew about it, I was at my boat many years ago, two decades ago, and I was part of a small club, and there was a gentleman putting a little poster where you enter the boats. He was, you know, taping them to the doors, or the fences, and I said, "What's this?" He said, "Well, we're doing boater safety classes." And I said, "Wow, I'd like to do that." "Well, we don't have a location yet." I said, "Tell you what, come up to my club. I'll host you, and I'll get permission." And we did a boater safety class, and I joined the Coast Guard Auxiliary because I hosted a boater safety class 20 years ago.
And that's how I got started. About 15 years ago, I came to one of these boater safety classes with my wife. It was a refresher for me. It was good information for my wife. It's good information for anybody, good referral. And that's how I met Rick and got started with the Coast Guard Auxiliary about 15 years ago.
Wow. So, yeah, we have a similar story. Rich, the gentleman, re-enlisted on December 10th, 3 days after Pearl Harbor. He was in the Army Air Corps, and he was an ace. Yeah, I guess he was – the Flying Tigers were protecting China from Japan, and he was part of that. And he re-enlisted. And then years later, he was – I think he made it to 100. He died a little while ago. He was an exciting guy. But that's the Coast Guard Auxiliary. Well, let's talk about you. You're a Renaissance man. I'm looking at these great photos. I'm going to put some of this stuff in your history on my website. But let's talk about your history, because I'm looking at that boat you built in your front yard with the kids. Let's tell me about that first. And then we'll ask about your history.
Okay, one of my favorite little projects was building a boat. We built a 10-foot rowboat in my front yard. And I wanted my nieces and nephews and family in general to see that you don't have to buy everything. Most people go to the wall, get money, and then they go to someplace. And they might have the pleasure of curating something or picking out something. But we actually built this boat with our own bare hands, and it's kind of funny. I cheated a little bit. I assembled the boat a couple times ahead of time to make sure it would all fit together well. And I had a pile of wood. I had an electric nailer. And we put the boat together pretty straightforwardly. And the most fun was having the kids paint it. My mother was a fine arts artist. We had three colors, yellow, red, and blue. And the kids got to mix up a little bit of paint and then paint the boat. So there were splashes and racing stripes and all kinds of things on that boat.
I'm looking at this wonderful picture. It's fantastic. First of all, how much paint went on the boat and how much went on the kids?
That's the question. We wound up with a kiddie waiting pool. After the kids were done painting, we'd put them in the kiddie waiting pool. And I'll also use latex house paint. Don't use oil-based paint. And it gave them a good scrub. The next weekend, we took the boat down to Mother's Beach, and we went boating, and it was a lot of fun. We had the boat half up on the beach, half in the water, got to teach the kids how to, you know, you hold on to the side of the boat. Your feet are sandy. You wash them off one at a time, put them in the boat, kind of let them see how a boat works, how to use it without getting sand in the boat, and make it fun for everybody.
Mother's Beach, very interesting. There's no waves, and the bombs would take the kids down there. But I guess there's capped off oil. It used to be an oil rig or something. Am I right?
Wow.
Yeah, Mother's Beach is not the cleanest beach, but there's no action going on, and it's like a big pool.
Yeah, they've got a nice lifeguard area. They've got a great area for the paddling boats. There is something in the natural world that occurs there. The stingrays will meet there and do their thing about the middle of August every year. So you have to be careful for those.
Yeah, what is it with the stingrays? Every so often someone will get stung. It's over in one area.
Well, they have a roped-off swimming area, and that area is pretty safe because people keep it churned up. And the stingrays can't really sting unless you actually step on them. If you shuffle and you move your feet and you bump into the edge of their circular disc, then they'll skitter out of the way. But still, they're nothing to play with. They have a powerful stinger and can hurt you.
Yeah, every so often. But there's paddleboard companies out there, you know. So that's exciting. I'm looking at these wonderful pictures. This is a great boat. I mean, I would pay a lot of money to buy a robot like that. Okay, let's talk about your adventures. First, I want to know how you got started in boating. Was this a family thing? Did you get in late in life? Give me your history, because you're kind of the Renaissance man. You've been all over, and you've had big boats, small boats.
Well, you kind of caught it right off the bat. It was from the very early days, or early photographs of me in diapers held by my mother on a cat boat back east in New Jersey. So my family's always had boats. My father built boats when he was first starting out as a young man.
Interesting. I'm looking at a wonderful photo. What is that boat right there? Is that a boat that you were participated in? The Invader?
Well, yes. The Invader is a 157-foot schooner. It was built in 1905. It was a racing boat from that time. It actually holds some records from L.A. to Hawaii. And I was going to college at the time. That boat was going from San Pedro to Hawaii. I dropped out of school, got a berth on that boat, and had a total crew of 27 people.
Wow.
And 157 feet long, 137 feet on deck, 99 feet on the waterline, a beam of 26 feet, and it had a draft, or the water that it needed was 13 and a half feet. And then they had a centerboard. They put the centerboard down. That total draft was 25 feet. So this was a full-on racing machine from the era of 1905.
No kidding. It looks like an 1800-style boat.
Yeah. So we sailed to Hawaii. We took it very gently. The boat then entered Windjammer Cruises. I had packed a kit of tools with me, and I was going to stay in Hawaii as long as I could, having arrived there by sailboat. I wound up going to work for Windjammer Cruises, wound up staying there a little over a year, and had a lot of fun in Hawaii.
Wow. That is amazing. That is a beautiful boat. I was going to ask you if you built that boat, but...
No, it was a pleasure to work on it. It was very interesting to see what was the state of the art at that time. At that time, these were the biggest, fastest, most powerful racing boats they had going on. So it was kind of something from another era.
When you teach some of the classes in the Coast Guard Auxiliary, and I know that's one of your specialties, one of your talents, do you get to talk about some of your ventures and some of these boats, or is it a strict... course schedule? Tell me how the instruction works and the type of different type of classes that you've taught with the Coast Guard Auxiliary.
Well, we get the best of both worlds because we use a nationally recognized text approved by the Coast Guard Auxiliary on the East Coast. And then we have people come, we tell them come half an hour early or stay half an hour late, have your local questions. And that's where we can really shine, because that's where the local knowledge comes out. It's like, hey, you don't want to go near those tankers. You don't want to go on a straight line out of Marina del Rey to Avalon. And why? So it's a lot of fun to get into the local knowledge part of things.
That is interesting, because I'm in the Coast Guard Auxiliary, but I'm not a qualified instructor. I've been to a lot of the classes. I've been doing public affairs, of course. The whole month of May, we'll be talking about the Armed Service Parade. Last year, the Coast Guard was the featured branch, so they had a really good footprint. So they're the previous featured branch. This year, it's the Space Force. So I'm not sure what impact they'll have because, you know, they have satellites. I'm not sure they can parade with these. You know, they don't have assets, you know, like the other, you know, the Army and the, you know, the Marines and even the Coasties. We were able to trailer a few boats, a couple big assets. It was really a wonderful thing. But the whole month of May, the Armed Service Parade, and the following week, Memorial Day, is Fleet Week at the Battleship Iowa.
That's going to be exciting. I mean, that's a huge vessel. It's still preserved after World War II. And, I'm looking forward to going down and going on that one myself.
Yeah, the Battleship Iowa is very interesting. But last year, the Coast Guard had their tents and booths and their public affairs and, of course, the recruiters in the huge parking lot. And I happened to have gotten a tour of before they opened up, and this was the second day. And I got a clock made out of one of the planks. So they're keeping that boat up just incredibly, and they replaced one of the wood planks, and it's this beautiful. I forgot what kind of wood it is, but they're replacing, going around the ship, fixing it, make sure it's ship shape. And I have this clock, and they only made a half a dozen of them, so I got one of those. And also, there's a museum. There's the number two. I don't think it's number one. The number two fireboat from the early 1900s that's on display in the museum. And there's a whole crew that maintains it. So the Battleship Iowa has a museum next to it. That's the fireboat that, you know, was in the San Pedro Long Beach Harbor.
And that maintenance can be quite a project. The wood on that deck of that boat is teak. And teak nowadays, prices is $35 a board foot. And a board foot is 1 inch thick by 12 inches by 12 inches. So you can get an idea of the materials that were used in those days for those endeavors and the budget they had to have. And teak was the best thing to use. It was a non-slip waterproof surface.
They don't use that on deck anymore, do they?
Mostly we've gone to fiberglass non-skid because we can make that easily. The price of teak keeps going up. It's in short supply and it's hard to get.
So the whole month of May, we're going to have all kinds of different Coasties and some hopefully from the Navy. We're definitely going to talk about the Space Force. Space Force is new to everybody, evolved out of the Air Force. So they're going to have a nice splash. So the whole month of May, we're going to talk about that. All right, let's get back to you, Bill. Okay, give me an idea of some of the places that you've been and the kind of boats that you've been on, small and large.
Okay, well, we started off with that trip on the Invader to Hawaii. And that was the first major open ocean sailing trip for myself. It was an opportunity to learn celestial navigation. So I bought a little plastic sextant and was practicing that. Plus, I had the actual captain and his assistant to compare results with, make sure we're all on the same boat. And that was a lot of fun. It was very interesting to me to – we study mathematics in school, and here was a chance to get a real application for it, where by looking up a few numbers, measuring a few things, you could tell where you were on the surface of the Earth within a couple miles. And that always gave me a great feeling of satisfaction.
Can you use a sextant? You know how to use a sextant?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm learning, and I guess you have to, you know the stars a little bit. I've got a wonderful sextant. I bid at the Maritime Museum, Marina Del Rey, started by Willie Horth. Has a wonderful – they're in the Fisherman's Village, and they have a historical society. Not the Maritime, the Marina Del Rey Historical Society. And I auctioned – I bid on that and won that at auction. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's got a nice little book. It came with some wonderful stuff, and it's on display in the middle of my dining room table. And,
okay.
It gets a lot of – I don't know how to use it, though.
Well, we'll have to get it out and limber it up. It's pretty straightforward. Your latitude is the highest the sun goes in the day, and your longitude is the moment at which the sun is the highest. Of course, the devil is in the details, as it is with all these things. It takes a little correcting for time and distance. But
you know, I did take a class at Cal Yacht Club. Yeah, with the gentleman, it was fantastic. Actually, I had him on a show, and his daughter is a super sailor. She's sailing on a team, so I had them on the show. I took a class on navigation, and they talked about celestial navigation, and we had the sextant, and it was only part of the class. But I'd like to use that. I'd like to learn how to use that because, you know, sometimes the technology and electronics don't work.
Absolutely, yeah, particularly on a boat where you have salt water. And it's interesting, the history of navigation. When I first went to Hawaii, it was by sextant, and you're making these little marks on the paper chart, and you have no idea if they have any correspondence to reality at all. And eventually, you get to see a little green island appear over the horizon, and it doesn't seem like you get to the same place when you take a modern jet there. The next step up was the sat-nav system, and you got a position about every 4 hours, and that was a miracle. Now, with our GPS systems, you know where you are within small fractions of an inch all the time. It's just incredible.
Well, as long as it works and the batteries don't get wet, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Well, yeah. You know, one thing I wanted to mention, you worked for MacGregor Yachts. Tell me about your time with MacGregor Yachts, because last week, you know, I've had a couple of guests. We've talked about the Tuesday night races, okay? And we talked to John, who is running the what started out as the MacGregor Yacht Dealership, ran a Tuesday night race in Marina del Rey for decades, and he started it up again. Yeah, we talked about MacGregor's and the MacGregor dealership, which is no longer Marina del Rey. So tell me about your stint with MacGregor Yachts.
Wow, that's really one of my old alma maters. It's one of my first jobs in boat building was working for MacGregor Yachts, and they had a place in Costa Mesa. I started out there. I had a lot of experience working on boats with my father, but these were fiberglass boats. And it's like, well, how do you fix a hole in fiberglass? Well, they had people that specifically did that. I wound up being in charge, eventually got to the position of operating the hull and deck joining section, where basically each MacGregor boat was four pieces. It was a hull liner, a deck, and a deck liner. And they went together all around the shear in an aluminum channel and was held together with pop rivets and nuts and bolts. And you had to get the bow on straight, because when you got to the other end, if you didn't get it would be a little off. You'd have to call the gel coat guy to come over and fix things. But hey, that was my first job in real boat building. I then went on to Willard Boat Works, and they were in Costa Mesa also. They then held the world's record for the largest fiberglass hull at 120 feet, which has been far surpassed nowadays.
Well, yeah, it's pretty interesting that a lot of people don't know that Southern California was the hotbed for boat building, especially small boat building, in the world. We had almost all of the boats in the 50s, 60s, and 70s were built here.
Yeah.
Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, and I think we've lost them all. I'm not sure what the transition was. It's so difficult. Land is so valuable here. It's so hard to have, you know, big shops with employees. This is not manufacturing friendly anymore. But all the boats that I know came out of here, and they had a boat show. The boat shows, from what I understand, before my time, used to be all the local boat builders would come up, and they'd be in the convention center and the Marina del Rey, small sailboats, dinghies. Shock is still existing in Newport Beach, but I don't know if they build anything here. I'm going to have to get someone from Shock. The family is consulting, but they sold. They sold. I'm not sure who they sold to. I'd love to hear that story, because they Shaka boats were a giant in Southern California. But yeah, the entire boat building industry used to be here.
Yeah, and we profited by that, working and repairing boats in Marina del Rey. If you needed another bow pulpit or some welding or hardware or fittings, they were readily available. Nowadays, it's more of an ordering process. You've got to go through various suppliers, and it just takes a little more doing.
Yeah, they're Midwest or back east, and they're definitely not here. Do you race dinghies at all? Are you a racer?
Yes, I've gone out on the Wednesday night series in Marina del Rey a lot, and I have to say that I have really polished my sailing skills. If you want to make a boat, learn how to make a boat go fast. That's a good way to do it. You want to get in with a good group of people, no yelling.
We call it barking.
Barking. But hey, a well-run boat is almost like a square dance or a ballet. Everything is happening. You're calling out, you're directing people, you're calling out orders, and you're keeping things coordinated. And we learned a lot on sailing.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story. I have always gone on other people's boats for many years and sailed with great sailors, racers or cruisers going to Catalina. And when I started dinghy sailing, I believe I was in Long Beach or Newport. I can't remember where it was. And I'm not that familiar with all the nuances of the rules. So, because I was always part of a crew with a skipper, very experienced. I might be a B-minus sailor. I'll call myself a C-plus sailor. And I was with just A-plus sailors. So that's what I did most of the time. So one of the things that people do is when you get close and you're rounding the marks or you're going upwind, you know, there's a lot of action. And the right away is so important. And what they when they know you're a novice, and I was skippery, a little dinghy, and I had somebody with me, there's a little competition to go around one of the marks. I can't remember if it was the windward or the leeward mark. And somebody was yelling out, 951B! So I left my sail. I fell off to let them get the right of way and to make the turn. And at the end, they were laughing at me. And they said, why'd you let him do that? There's no such thing as, 951ZBG, whatever he was yelling at me. I just assumed that I was in his territory because, the whole thing about overtaking and starboard and port and all this kind of stuff.
Hey, so much better to be safe than sorry. Yeah. I mean, boats bump together even a little bit. It's very expensive.
But that's the hazing that they do when you start coming out and you're regular and they poke fun at you and they see if you fall for it and they find out a lot. He was laughing when they turned the mark in their crew, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I just got it. It was kind of I smiled, and I said, okay, if they could poke fun at me. Of course, but when they do that to you, they always buy you a beer and, buy your burger. God, that's unbelievable. What's been your favorite trip? Tell me a story about your favorite trip. You got anything in mind that really sticks out that you would love to do again and really enjoy doing?
Well, small boats. I think you really hit the nail on the head with small boats. I have a 10-foot sailing dinghy, which I have now that I go sailing in. And my favorite thing is to just get in that dinghy and sail around Marina Del Rey. It's calm. It's comforting. I can lay in the boat. And I do it. So it's an ongoing thing. Biggest thing about sailing is to keep on doing it.
Yes. You talked about the Wednesday nights. What do they call the Wednesday nights at Cal Yacht Club?
Wednesday night races, yeah.
Yeah, Wednesday nights, the Cal Yacht Club had the disaster where the place burned down. But they're still doing the Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
And they're still doing the Wednesday night series at Cal Yacht Club. They've got a tent and they're using their courtyards. But it's going to take them a good year, maybe longer, to rebuild the club. But they're existing. They're still going on. And the Wednesday nights started when the marina was built, so it's pretty darn exciting.
Yeah, they start every springtime, and they'll have, through the Cal Yacht Club, they usually have a meeting where they'll get together, and people who are interested in racing, people who are new to it, people who want information about it, can come and check it out. And it's fun to go in the yacht club, or at least it was the Cal Yacht Club. They had a lot of models on the walls and a lot of trophies.
Well, I understand that the fire started in the kitchen upstairs. And not everything was lost, but I'm sure that they're trying to resurrect, all the trophies and stuff. Golly, we barely scratched the surface, Bill. I got to have you back on the show to talk more because we've got so much to talk about. But this is fantastic. Thanks for sharing your stories and talking about the Coast Guard Auxiliary. And I really want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Rick. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today. I hope you enjoyed our show. As always, we are so very fortunate to have such exciting guests. So I want to thank our in-studio guest today, Bill Borneman from Marina Del Rey, Coast Guard Auxiliary, and really a renaissance man in sailing and boat building. And let's not forget the Coasties, protecting our waters, America's lifesavers and guardians of the sea. And you'll see them at the Torrance Armed Service Parade coming up in May and then Memorial Day at the Battleship Iowa. Go say hello. Walk up to the tent of the Coast Guard, the active duty, and the Coast Guard Auxiliary, the civilian volunteers that are dedicated to boater safety. Please be sure to find us on all over social media, Instagram, YouTube, Rumble, and Facebook. Remember, if you do it right and follow the guidelines and safety precautions, there's no place like being out of the water in the fresh air and sunshine in beautiful, sunny Southern California. Another thing the Coast Guard does, the boater safety class, and they're doing classes to get the boater safety card. Everyone needs one now. They transitioned that in starting Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was our governor. I think he was our governor. Was that was a movie or was that real, Mr. Producer? I think he was governor. Either that or it was a movie. Anyway, here at the Boating Hour with Captain Rick, we cover everything that sails, motors, and floats from San Diego to Santa Barbara. Thanks for being with us today. Please be sure to join us next week and every Saturday at 4 p.m. on AM 870. Thanks to our sponsor for the show today, for a healthy gut, Livia One Probiotics. And if your race committee is having a regatta at your club and you're hosting an event, well, at land or at sea, but also at land, Captain Rick will come out and help your race committee and your event staff. Two-way radio equipment from Raycom Radio. And they're going to come on the show and talk all about radios, ham radios, and VHF radios, and two-way radio communications. So thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to visit us on the web at theboatinghour.com. And now on social media, keep your emails coming. This is Captain Rick saying ahoy and fair winds to all.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.